Welcome to Renew Devotionals. In this time with God and His Word today, we'll be studying the book of Philemon. Before beginning, take a few moments to center your heart. Ask God to give you faith, wisdom, and humility as you hear and respond to His Word. Our scripture today comes from Philemon chapter 1, verses 15 through 16.
For perhaps it was for this reason that he was separated from you for a while, that you would have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord.
Jesus once told a parable about forgiveness. A servant of a king runs up a debt of $100,000. Unable to pay, the servant and his family are destined to be auctioned off at a slave market. The servant is desperate and he throws himself down at the king's feet, begging for a chance to pay back his debt. But then, in radical generosity, the king completely cancels his servant's debt, letting him go free. Shortly thereafter, the servant confronts an acquaintance who owes him $10. The indebted person begs for mercy, but shockingly, the servant refuses and has him thrown in jail until the debt is paid. Now, this scenario sounds ridiculous. Who would demand $10 when they were just forgiven $100,000? But here's the convicting reality. Jesus says if we don't forgive people in our lives unconditionally, having been forgiven all our sins by God, we're just like the servant in the parable. It is in this line of thought that the Apostle Paul's letter to Philemon encourages a wholehearted embrace of forgiveness. The context for this book is one in which a man named Philemon has been wronged by his slave Onesimus. Now, in first century Rome, slavery looked like what we might think of with indentured servitude. For example, people might sell themselves into slavery for a limited time to pay off a debt. So, Onesimus legally owes work to his employee, Philemon. But he decides to run away, and therefore, Onesimus is now indebted to Philemon. After running away, Onesimus meets Paul, and the two become friends. Paul soon leads Onesimus to faith in Christ, and then he holds Onesimus accountable to make things right with Philemon. Paul encourages Onesimus to go back home, but he does something else that's radical, especially for the time. Paul sends Onesimus with a letter for Philemon, who he actually personally knows as a fellow follower of Christ. While Philemon does have the legal right to punish Onesimus, Paul encourages Philemon to forgive his runaway slave. And not only this, Paul urges him to go even further, accepting Onesimus back no longer as a slave, but as a beloved brother, as it says in Philemon 1:16. In his letter, Paul stands in solidarity with Onesimus, telling Philemon to welcome his former slave as if he were welcoming Paul himself. Paul identifies himself with Onesimus to the point of vowing to pay back any debt owed to Philemon. So, what is it that's driving Paul to be a loving reconciler? Why does he expect Philemon to not only forgive, but to go above and beyond? Jesus, the ultimate reconciler, compels and empowers his people to follow in his path of forgiveness and reconciliation. We were all once enemies of God, committing the offense of sin against God and turning away from him. But Christ, King of the world, lowered himself in humility to reconcile us to God. He gave his life to pay our debt and secure our forgiveness. He rose from the dead, crediting those who believe in him with his righteousness. And he made us eternally right with God, adopting us as unconditionally loved children. Just like this servant in Jesus' parable, we have been forgiven everything by God. And so we are compelled to forgive any offense committed against us. It's been said that a theme can be traced through Paul's letters. The longer he's been following Christ, the more he grasps the depths of his sin. In his earlier letters, Paul claims himself to be a sinner, but by the end of his writing, Paul is claiming to be the chief of all sinners. Have you noticed this pattern in your own life? That the more you grow in your relationship with Christ, the more you understand how great your sin is. This depth and understanding is what gives us the power to forgive. The more we understand how much we've been forgiven, the more we can easily forgive others for their wrongs against us. As Paul instructs Philemon to accept Onesimus as an equal partner, a family member in Christ. So we understand that we are not above anyone else. We are fellow recipients of God's extravagant mercy and forgiveness. Along these lines, I think the point made on forgiveness and the Lord's Prayer is so interesting. Jesus teaches us to pray, "Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors." Do you notice that in giving us this model of prayer, Jesus is leading us to understand that there is no way we can ask for God to forgive us without having a spirit of forgiveness toward others? Forgiven people forgive. So is there someone in your life who has hurt or wronged you? Do you find yourself harboring feelings of bitterness or anger? Forgiveness is a process and it requires wisdom and discernment. Reconciliation does not mean going back to normal or not working through your hurts. But it does mean surrendering judgment and punishment to God. It means letting them off the hook in our own hearts. Christ reconciled himself to us while we were sinners, so we can forgive and radically love those who have hurt us. Take a moment to contemplate Christ's reconciliation on your behalf. Ask God to deepen your understanding of the depths of his forgiveness in your life. If there is a situation in which someone has hurt you, take a moment to entrust the situation with God. Ask God to give you the power to forgive and love in response. As you listen to the worship song, thank God for reconciling us to him in the most radical display of forgiveness and unconditional love.
You whisper in the madness, you call my name. At the sound of your voice, all chaos fades. Almighty voice of God, I'm listening.
Steadfast God.